This Sunday is the fifth Sunday in Lent. The Psalm of the day is Psalm 42, verses 14 to 21. The Old Testament reading is from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. The Epistle is from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. And the Gospel is from St. John chapter 11, verses 1 to 45. Pastor's sermon is entitled Resurrection Life. He will read that for you now.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not only for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. The raising of Lazarus from the dead is the seventh miracle, or as John calls it, a sign, that Jesus does in the first half of John's Gospel. After that, there are no more signs, except one, his own death and resurrection. It's all been building up to this. Jesus changed water into wine at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. That was the first sign. Then he healed the official's son at Capernaum with nothing but a word of promise. He healed a lame man at the pool called Bethesda.
He multiplied bread and fish for 5,000 in the wilderness. He walked on water at night to meet his disciples. He healed the eyes of the man born blind with spit, mud, and washing water at the pool of Siloam. And in today's reading, he raises his good friend Lazarus from the dead. This seventh and last sign is different from the others in many ways. First, this involved Jesus' best friends, Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. Martha was the one who was busy cooking while Mary sat at the feet of Jesus listening. Lazarus became ill. Jesus was some distance away, so they sent word, "Your friend, the one whom you love, is ill." Now you would think that Jesus would get there as fast as possible, wouldn't you? But Jesus did nothing. He waited 2 extra days. He let his friend die. Like the man born blind, Lazarus became an object lesson, an example. "It is for the glory of God," Jesus said, "so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Remember this when you feel that God is slow to respond, when your prayers seem to go unanswered, when he doesn't seem to care about your sickness or suffering. Remember Lazarus. Jesus let his friend die. He knew what he was going to do. He knew that this sickness would not lead to death, but he let Lazarus die anyway so he could go and wake him up. When Jesus and the disciples finally arrived on the scene in Bethany, Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Mary and Martha are understandably upset with Jesus. We would have been too. He did all these favors for strangers, but couldn't make the time to come help his friend. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died."
It echoes the age-old question. Why does God allow suffering, evil, death? He has the power to do something about it. He's merciful, gracious, forgiving, loving. Why does Lazarus die and a blind man sees? Why does Lazarus die while a wedding in Cana gets wine overflowing? There's no answer to that. Don't try. It is so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. That's all you get. "Your brother will rise again," Jesus says to the grief-stricken sister. Jesus meant today, but Martha thought he was speaking about the last day. "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Martha knows because Martha has been paying attention to Jesus' words. But the question is not what she knows, but what she believes. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me lives, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me never dies forever. He may die for a while, but not forever." "Do you believe this?" Jesus asks. And that's the question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this in the face of your own inevitable death? Do you believe this when the doctor says you have 6 months to live? Or when you see your contemporaries dying all around you, when the world seems to be filled with nothing but death and despair? Do you believe that Jesus is resurrection and Jesus is life, and that to live and believe in him is to have life now and forever? You can know a lot of things. You can even know that the dead will rise on the last day, but that's not the point. The question is not about the dead, but about Jesus. He is the antidote to death. He is the one who died and rose to conquer death. Martha believes, "Yes, Lord,
I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. That's the great confession. The confession of Peter and the Samaritan woman and all who believe in Jesus as Lord and Christ. Mary finally comes to Jesus and says the same as Martha, Lord, if you had come sooner, if you would have been there. She falls at his feet weeping. Their friends and neighbors and the mourners were weeping too. Jesus wept. It's not clear whether he was weeping with them or weeping over them. Maybe it was the unbelief of his dearest friends or the unbelief of the Jews that troubled him in spirit and drove him to tears. What about our unbelief? Our incessant demand for a miracle? Our constant questioning of his goodness, his power, his mercy. It's enough to drive even God to tears of frustration. I'm sure I've caused many a divine tear to fall with my own shallow, superficial faith. He weeps over us, and he weeps with us. He is, after all, the man of sorrows. The prophet Isaiah wrote, hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, that this man of sorrows is acquainted with our suffering and grief. His mourning turns our sorrow to gladness. He wipes away our tears by his weeping. He absorbs our grief into himself and takes it all to the cross, where all is answered in his words, "It is finished." Jesus goes to the tomb of his friend. He can't stay away. He asks them to roll the stone away. Martha's afraid of the smell. "Remember what I said," Jesus says to Martha. And then he fires off a terse prayer to his father. "Father, thanks for listening. I know you always hear, but I'm saying this for the benefit of all these unbelievers standing around." And then he yells into the open tomb, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man did. He came out, wrapped in burial cloths. Jesus orders Lazarus unbound and to let him go. And we never hear anything about Lazarus after that. I'd be kind of curious to know what he said, but we do know that the religious officials plotted to kill Lazarus as well as Jesus, because people were really following Jesus after this sign. So where does this leave all of us here today? We've all been Mary and Martha, and will be again. We've buried loved ones, some of whom became sick, and even after many prayers ascended before the throne of grace, they still died, and we're left wondering why. We've heard those words countless times. "I am the resurrection and the life," and we believe in a Martha way. We know they'll rise on the last day in the resurrection, and there's comfort in that. But if we just hear it in the future tense, we'll miss the point of Jesus's "I am." Jesus is the resurrection and the life, not only in the future, but in the present tense. He is resurrection and life now. To live in him and believe in him, to be baptized into his death and life, is to have resurrection and life now, so that you live in spite of your death. And living and believing in Jesus, you never die forever.
And we will all be Lazarus one day too. Some sickness, something, is going to get us. And God won't stop it. He'll just say, "Let him sleep. I'll wake him up." That's how Jesus treats humanity's greatest enemy, death. It's a sleep from which he will wake us up as surely as he has risen from the dead. Here's the bottom line. Even if Jesus had done nothing at all for Lazarus, even if he had stayed where he was and simply let him die, Lazarus could not have been safer. He trusted Jesus with his life and death.
Our descent to the dead is preceded by Jesus' descent to the dead. He has conquered, and in him we conquer too. And so there is nothing in life or in death that can separate us from the love of God in Christ. You don't need a miracle. You don't need a miraculous healing of whatever ails you. You already have healing, life, and salvation in the death and resurrection of Jesus. We've had such a great hearing of John's gospel over the past month. I suppose now we're ready for Palms and Passion and Holy Week. The time of signs is ended. The hour of dying and rising has come. Amen.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who, with the Father and the Son, together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Go in peace and serve the Lord.